Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today is June 19th, 2022, a double holiday. Holly means holy, holy day. One is, of course, Father's Day. And another looming and positive holiday is Juneteenth. So today in this year, 2022, June 19th, we are observing, celebrating both. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. You have tuned in to Words Made People. Today, we're going to do a repeat program, the repeat program from an original date of July 9th, 2017, which is titled, What is the Legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad? Who is its proper owners? And it features guests Imam Kafa Ahmed, may Allah forgive him for his sins, Imam Talib Sharif of Washington, D.C., Sister Aisha K. Mustafa, editor of Muslim Journal, and the national convener, Imam Ali Bashir, in which we're going, within this pre-recorded program, it will discuss what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Also, it discusses, can the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad belong to any one entity or individual? It also addresses, will we unite as one community? Also, we talked about two more points. One is, how can we best share the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad to the world? And lastly, how do we pass this legacy on to the next generation? As mentioned before, this is a pre-recorded program. 5 years ago, my goodness. Alhamdulillah, praise be to God. So call a friend, tell them to tune in. They don't want to miss it. So I will now begin playing the pre-recorded program. Because what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad and who are its owners? Enjoy. Oh. Please forgive me. Let us always support our Muslim Journal newspaper. It is our legacy. Please subscribe to the paper. You can now subscribe online. And that is at go to MuslimJournal.net. MuslimJournal.net. And scroll through it. Visit this site. And you can see where you can subscribe either school, as they say, the traditional newspaper come to you through the regular mail, or you can do a electronic subscription and get the paper sent every week to your computer, your phone, your laptop, or whatever. But however you choose to, let us please continue to support our institution, our newspaper, the Muslim Journal. At this time here, we will begin the pre-recorded program. So you may hear some commercials in between. Just hold on. And here is our presentation for today. Thank you for tuning in.
Why does getting to the airport have to be such a dilemma? The driving, parking, finagling a ride? Well, if you take Uber, it doesn't. It's easy. Just install the Uber app. Enter your destination, confirm your location, and within minutes, a car will pick you up. Whether you're catching the red eye or taking off at the crack of dawn, you can request a ride 24/7. So avoid the hassle. Install the Uber app now and take your first ride today. Uber, the better way to get there.
Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. You're listening to Words Made People. We begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, and we thank each and every one of you for joining us today. We are looking forward to having a very lively and informative conversation on the topic of what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad and who is its proper owners. We have joining us very shortly here Imam Kazim Ahmed, Imam Bashir Ali, Imam Talib Sharif, and Sister Editor Aisha K. Mustafa. So we have quite a bit to share. Now, these are people who I chose specifically because they are known throughout our community. They are known and respected, I must add, throughout our community. Now, I'm sure they can add wonderful information to this conversation. So we will bring them on very shortly. Our show is called Words Make People, as you know, the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we always begin our show with the best words for making people, and that is the words of the Holy Quran. And so we read Surah Walasa 103 and have a short commentary on that, inshallah, and then we will bring on our guest and continue with our conversation. I'm sure shortly I will be joined by my co-host, Brother Mustafa Abdullah. He will be here with us shortly, inshallah. So we know as Muslims, we always begin reading the Quran, seeking Allah's protection. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. And then next we say, before reading the Quran, except for chapter 9, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. And we read, Walasa inna insana lafi kusri, illa ladina aminu wa aminu salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqqi, wa tawasaw bis sabr. Very common reading that we are all, I'm sure, are familiar with. And the first word is saying Walasa. It's commonly given as time, and it is referring to time. But the word also is also speaking of a squeezing or a pressing as well. So there's a sense of work going on with this term, Walasa. I said, verily in time, mankind, the insana, it says, verily in that insana, verily in the mankind is lost, kusri, lost, except for Philelavina, Aminu, or Aminu Salihati, Aminu saying those who believe, and Aminu is saying that they are workers, and their work is of Salihat, of the righteous deeds. So we as believers should not be at lost over time or under pressure or being squeezed. We should not be lost because we are people who are, first of all, believers. I'm anew. We have belief. We keep our faith, and our faith is not just words. It is extended with the Amilu in the actions, deeds, righteous deeds, salihats. They say righteous. So we have Amilu, we have works that are righteous. And then once we have works that are righteous, then we can counsel each other. We can teach each other based upon the truth, and we can join together in patience. And we have the patience to endure through the awesome. Whatever the offer may be, the difficulty may be, the pressure may be, if we keep to our faith and that faith is manifested through righteous deeds, then we can join together mutually and teach each other and what is right and what is truth, and also to be patient. And that's very key, I think, for our conversation today, is that we be those who remain of faith and that we remain patient, endure, when the pressure comes and the pressure comes upon us. So I want to always begin our show with reading from the Holy Quran, the best words for making people. And I wanted to bring on our guest, and I do understand Imam Kazim Ahmed. He's really making a big sacrifice joining us today. He's into a lot of things. I'm going to bring him on first for that reason, because his time is, I think, short compared to my other guests, I do believe. Imam Kazim Ahmed, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing today, Imam Tahir?
Fine, alhamdulillah. How you doing, sir?
Alhamdulillah. You know,
yeah.
I'm grateful to be on the program today, you know, and as you were saying, I'm moving about right now in Dallas, Texas, you know, and I just left one meeting,
yes, sir,
and I'm on the way to a meeting, alhamdulillah. You know.
Yes, sir. We want to go ahead and get into our conversation. We do have our other guests who are going to be joining us as well. I see them already in queue. But I just want to begin the conversation by just saying a couple of words. This is not to get into any kind of legal conversation. This is not to criticize any particular organization. I'm saying this to everyone, not just to you, Brother Imam, to everyone. Not to criticize any this organization comparative or against that organization. We're not about that. We're speaking about just the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we spoke with Imam Bashir Ali and Imam Muhammad Sadiq wanted to come on to a show about the intellectual property, and we plan to do that soon, inshallah. But today's focus, and the reason why that I chose you for people to be guests, is because I don't see I see people who can get more of a in-between comment without saying that I'm for this group or against a group. This is not what we're here for today. But Brother Imam, if you can speak to us about what do you see as the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Well, my ideal of the legacy of W.D. Muhammad is based upon things that he has said about himself in terms of his name itself, Waris Uddin Muhammad. Waris is inheritor, but this same word inheritor means legacy that carries on, you know. And Imam Muhammad, he often said, while he was here, Rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah's mercy be upon him and forever grant him paradise. He would say oftentimes, see, I would not be who I am if it was not for the Quran and my sincerity. The Quran and my sincerity, you know. And so he often spoke to the community as well as personal conversations that I had with him about his work and what he saw his work as. And that was to promote the Quran and the life example of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said many times, if anything I say conflict with that, he said, put that away and follow the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his legacy to me was to establish in our life the Quran and the model of Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when I see, when I hear the legacy of Imam Muhammad, there are many things that's connected. His business efforts, his social efforts, his this, the community, etc. But the main thing that he left with us for us to continue on as a legacy was the Quran. And this is one of the things I try as much as possible to promote in the community, you know, because I know that the Quran will carry us forward. When nothing else will do, it will be the Quran that will carry us forward. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu." The best of you is he that learned the Quran and then teach it. You see? So when I say, when you say the legacy of Imam Muhammad, when he comes to me, he left with us the Quran to follow, and we should be emphasizing as much as possible the Quran in the life of this community. And if we do that, you will see progress, you know. So that's the first, you know.
Yes, sir. Greg, you know, and I want to make a comment, too, that I think would be interesting to us who are students of Imam Muhammad. Just in my other research, I found that he was given the name Waris at least in 1964 or 65. And I got that from my research in which you can find it on the internet if you go Google it. It was a letter exchange between Imam Muhammad and Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. And at the bottom of the letter, after the Imam was writing this letter, and he responds back to Malcolm, he said, P.S., the postscript, that he had gotten this name from an Imam from India, the name of Waris Uddin Muhammad. And I just wanted to just mention that as a side note for those who do research. But I also wanted to ask you your comments on a quote Imam Muhammad said very often. He said, I, too, follow Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. Can you give us some comments on that?
Yes, I would love to do that because once he said that and said it, I began to research that comment, that insight from the Quran. And, you know, he said that I follow Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad, you know, and then he also said, again, he said, and who is Imam W.D. Muhammad? He said, it's the best in me. And then he said after that, you too have the best in you, so follow the best thereof, you see. And again, that's, you know, and follow the best thereof. And what he was speaking to, in one sense, was the nature of Wallace D. Muhammad, not the name, but the nature. And the nature
was reflected in the nature
of Ibrahim alayhi wa salatu wa salam, and also Muhammad the Prophet. And it's called in Arabic in Quran Hanif, the Hanif nature. The Hanif nature, Hanif is a word that means inclined to do right when everything around you is wrong. It also means the guidepost for direction of the right guidance, like the North Star or the compass, you know, that's like a Hanif, you know. So his moral nature was his Hanif. Now, when he said he followed Imam Wadhuddin Muhammad, it is that nature, that original fitra nature that was in him, you know, that God made. And he stayed true to that nature. And anybody who associated with Imam Muhammad and worked with him and et cetera, you know, he had a very honorable nature, kindness, et cetera. He was never vindictive, never revengeful, you know, never hateful, you know, of different things. He what he hated was wrongdoing and oppression, you see. You know, so when he said, I followed W.D. Muhammad, it was that nature that was guiding him, you see, to be the best person that he could be for God. And then he told us, too, that you, too, have the best in you. And I tell people this. I say, put the best in you, the innocence in you. And, you know, I'm doing a tour now around the country called the Unity Deficit Tour, you know, meaning that there's a deficit.
It's called what again?
Unity Deficit, the Unity Deficit, you see. Like you have a financial
deficit.
Deficit.
Yes, sir.
You know, and what prompted me to do this tour was reading one of the books that's produced by the Mosque Care called Diversity in Islam. I when I purchased that book, I began to read it, you know, and I will say this, that the Mosque Care has produced many good books on the language of Imam Muhammad that's helping the community. That's why I promote them and invite people to read them. But anyway, I'm reading the book. On page 14 in the book, the Imam Muhammad said this statement. He said, the problem with our unity is that we have been separated from our original self, our original nature. And that struck such a concept in my mind. I said, wow, here's the problem. You see, not that we can't just get together for this, that, and other, but we have separated from our original nature, our original innocence. And he emphasized in the book, the innocence is your purity. Now, we live in a society that says that you are innocent until proven guilty when a criminal act is done. And Quran, the word for sin, is also the word for crime. Ithmun and zambun, you see. So the sin or criminal act that this society says that you're innocent until proven guilty. They say that on one instance, but at the same time, in the religious sense, they say you're guilty until you're redeemed from the innocence by Christ. You see, so it's a conflict. You know, our innocence, innocence that we have as a people, you know, is what will unite us. So Imam Muhammad is emphasizing, come back to your original innocence, your original purity, you see, and that's right now. We got so many people running around with guilt and guilt behavior and guilt this, et cetera, when actually your innocence should take over. So he said in the book that we have been separated from that innocence. So my appeal to the community, come back to your individual innocence. You know, stop condemning this that. Look for the innocence that's in you first. You see, because that's what's going on.
Yes, sir.
How many of our believers are leaving here now? You see, how many have left and are still thinking? You see, they're sick right now, et cetera.
Okay.
We have to rethink ourselves, you know. So that's I'm saying.
Thank you. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up my co-host. No, go ahead, make your point.
No, I was just saying, you were asking about when Imam Muhammad said, I follow Imam W.D. Muhammad. He was talking about following the innocent purity that's in him that Allah gave. And you have that too. So let's follow it.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Very well said. I do want to bring on my co-host, Brother Mustafa Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, well, he's there. I do want to bring on my
other guest. Thank you, brother, man.
Okay, there he is. How you doing, sir?
Okay. Fine, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I've been enjoying the show, listening to him. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. I do want to bring on my other guest as well. We have joining us, let's see, Brother Imam Bashir Ali. I'm bringing on Sister Aisha K. Mustafa, and I'm going to bring on Imam Tala Sharif. I go in the order. I guess I go in alphabetical order. Brother Imam Bashir Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother.
Yes, sir. How you doing today, sir?
Alhamdulillah. Fine. And you?
I'm doing good, alhamdulillah. And also greetings to Imam. I'm going in alphabetical order. Sister Aisha K. Mustafa, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you know, it's my honor, as always. And also Imam Talib Sharif of Washington, D.C. How you doing, sir?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. Greatly appreciate you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
We're honored to be on
this
show, man. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, thank you. It's my honor. Yes, sir.
I'm honored to share it with my dear sister and my dear brothers, Imam Bashir and Imam Kazim. Folks dear to me, those are my seniors. We love them. We love them.
I'm happy to be on with you.
Yes, I'm going to ask the question I asked Imam Kazim, and it's going to take a couple of minutes, and just give me your thoughts. I guess we begin with Sister Aisha. What comes to your mind when you say, what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad? You know, Imam Kazim gave a very good conversation, but I'd like to hear from you all as well.
Assalamu alaikum. In the context of the climate we're in right now, my immediate thought goes to Imam Muhammad setting us on the path of sober-minded, level-headed citizenship. Imam Muhammad gave us back our position in this country as responsible citizens because, as we know, some of us were torn between black nationalism, cloaked as Islam, other painful memories of our citizenship in this country and the things that we had suffered as a people. But, you know, it was Imam Muhammad that told us you have to make a decision. You either in or you out. If you're a citizen, then you have to be responsible as a citizen. You can't be the victim all the time. You have to take responsibility. So Imam Muhammad, for me, removed that feeling of that idea of being a perpetual victim. I'm not a victim if I'm going to take responsibility. As well as he helped us navigate some very choppy waters. You know, if Imam Muhammad hadn't taken the positions that he had taken and instructed us the way that he had, we probably would have gotten swept up in the climate after 9/11. But he had already set us on a path to be focused on the best interest for you in this country, and not follow behind other people's political agendas. Right is right and wrong is wrong, true. Imam Muhammad was very supportive of the Palestinian cause. He was very supportive of Yasser Arafat. But at the same time, he said, you're not to follow other people as a puppet. You know, Al-Islam, he could take us directly to the Prophet in the Quran. We didn't have to go through anybody's mullah or anybody's sheikh or anyone else to explain to us what Islam was. He gave it to us straight from the fountain, straight from the source, at the same time giving us our rooting, our stability here in this country and what we needed to do to live here in this country. He told us that, Al-Islam and the Constitution, he specifically said that Al-Islam and the Constitution and the Quran were not in conflict with each other.
Right. Yes, ma'am. You know, and as she was speaking, I have one quote here from Imam Muhammad, which he gave just to end the quote, where he spoke on man's shared freedom space. You know, in the last few years of his leadership, he spoke a lot on shared freedom space. And he says here that family life and the care of a devoted female is where people should qualify for citizenship. Citizenship should bring to mind a certain behavior expected of persons individually. Civic-minded community servants who have been awarded for a good citizenship, they know its meaning, the state of being vested with the rights, privileges, and duties of a citizen, the character of an individual viewed as a member of society. Behavior in terms of duties, obligations, and functions of a citizen. And I read that because Sister Aisha, you mentioned, one of the key words you mentioned was that Imam Muhammad, he put us on the path of sober-minded, level-headed citizenship. And I think that is a very important part of his legacy that we need to recognize. I'd like to ask Imam Tawa Sharif, what are your will be your comments on what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad?
Oh, thank you. You know, ma'am, he once said, and I apologize because I missed some of the things earlier. I had to leave out and come back in, so I may have missed, may have said this. But he said the body inherits the past. And, of course, the logic is there. We know that physically our body inherits what came before it, the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you are not connected with it, certainly you get indirect benefits. You'll get maybe some direct benefits just from being really unconscious. But if you're conscious about connecting with that past, you can benefit more from the past in the present to help you move forward in the future.
Okay.
So having said that, Imam represents a body. His legacy is upon a body. And this is really his legacy is upon a line of followership produced upon this path to see our humanity free for us as a people. And we can go through many names upon that path, you know, moral, spiritual,
mm-hmm.
ethical. It was an intellectual order. And it was we know that it was guided by Allah, and this same thing we find followed by, we're talking about significant people in our struggle here, but even before that struggle, we got these significant figures in the prophets leading up to Abraham, Ibrahim, and then our model by Muhammad, the prophet, peace upon him. All of this universal picture of human life. Imam, he's connected to all of that. And then he says this. This is a quote from him. He says this. He says, Allah chose me to be your leader because of my thinking. He said, not my flesh. My flesh means nothing. So that the legacy really is connecting us with this body of knowledge, you know, the thinking, which is just the Quran, you know. And we come to find more once we study him. That's the greatest legacy, giving us the insight, connecting us to that. That's our inheritance. You know, we say the body inherits the past. That's our inheritance. And that's what we see as his great legacy and how he was able to transform us with that as well. He also said, you know, he was just talking about the thinking and what Allah gave him. And because your show speaks to it too. You know, words make people, you know. Imam said, when Allah says that he breathed into his man the breath of life, the breath was in the form of his word. And he said, and word carries spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Imam was talking to us, he said, we are special people. He said, Allah is shaping
right.
us. He is breathing into us of his spirit. His word carries spirit. So you can't speak without spirit. Every word is breath. So this is, again, this is what we see as his great legacy, connecting us with that word, you know, that helps us.
Yes, sir. Connecting us with the word. Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes, I appreciate that. Imam Bashir Ali, what would be your comments on what is the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad?
Thank you very much, my dear brother. And once again, thank you for everything that you do for our community as well. And we thank our other guests and for the outstanding work that they all do for our community. So, alhamdulillah. I see several things. One, that Imam W. Muhammad was a gift and a blessing from Allah to humanity, mm-hmm. to the African-American community, and to our experience. To our unique experience, he brought the gift of a new consciousness, one built upon universal human excellence, natural and free thinking, and rooted in pure Al-Islam, both that has in it the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the very nature of all living things, the very nature of life, called the Fitrullahi.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to see things in a very clear and natural way and to question everything and to be able to, you know, say, remake the world. That was a sign of a free man, a free thinker. And inshallah, we pray that we follow in that same legacy, that Allah blesses us to have a free thinking ability, to step up as leaders. Sister Aisha talked about this reality that we're currently living in. But in conjunction with that, we have the ability to really kind of step forward and really manifest the balance, the clarity, and the natural thinking ability that Allah bless us with through our Imam.
Yes, sir. Yes, you're very good. Now, I'm going to kind of step back a little bit because I want to hear from you all and not from me. I may ask the question, but I wanted to hear from you all. So y'all can chime in as you do on any other phone conference. But can the legacy, and since y'all gave wonderful definitions of legacy, but the various meanings of it, can the legacy, quote unquote, of Imam Muhammad belong to any one entity or any one individual? So we're going to open up the floor, so to speak. Anyone want to go first? Can the legacy of Imam Muhammad belong to any one entity or individual?
It, of course not, brother, man. It's a legacy to humanity, and it's from Allah. We can't govern what Allah, you know, ordains. We can only accept it and benefit from it. So obviously, I just want to reemphasize this point. Allah created Imam W. Muhammad. He was a gift to us, and that gift has to be shared with all of humanity. So, obviously, that legacy then connects all of us and connects all of humanity.
Yeah.
Pastor Malcolm.
Malik Masalam.
Oh, this is Aisha.
Go ahead.
I would just say
yes,
that, of course, it does not belong to any one individual or entity or community, because Imam Muhammad himself would say, I have followers and supporters that y'all don't ever see. He would talk about people that he met in a restaurant or people who walked up to him in airports and commented on his leadership and vowed their support. And we don't know those people. They went inside the walls. They weren't sitting on the floor. At the same time, in the context of our community moves forward. We have more and more generations coming in, and some of them would tell you, the newer generations, I never met Imam Muhammad. I only know Imam Muhammad through you all, my parents and my teachers. But because you all loved Imam Muhammad and y'all brought Imam Muhammad's message forward, I love Imam Muhammad too. I've heard this from young brothers who are two generations out now, you know. The legacy is moving forward, as well as what the prophet himself said and predicted. It's to carry the message forward. Perhaps those who are not here today will understand it better than you do, you who are here looking in his face and witnessing him. Deliver the message to those who are way out from me. Will recognize and understand it better than those, and we testify to that every day, because we know for a fact we got the message of the prophet late, but we know for a fact that there are people who have lived under the message who only recite it because they already know the language. They have no idea how to apply it and how to make it progressive in their own country.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah. I would like to say that, this is Imam Carson. I would like to say that the legacy of Imam Muhammad doesn't belong to any one individual or any group of individuals. You know, let's look at it like this. The air don't belong to one person. The sunshine don't belong to one person. The space, we talked about shared freedom space, it does not belong to one individual. Imam Muhammad's leadership represents universal thought and universal understanding of God and his book that is Quran that was revealed. That's why I said that Imam said, what made me was the Quran and my sincerity. And I want to say this to everyone who's listening. Everyone who is listening has sincerity in them. Everyone that's listening has innocence in them. If you act upon your innocence and act upon your sincerity, you will not confine yourself to any one idea or concept. You will see yourself as universal. So Imam Muhammad's leadership, his legacy, represents universality as the air, as the space, as the sunshine, as the moon in the sky, and et cetera. So none of those belong to any individual. The moon, the sun shine on the weak as well as the strong. Signs on the rich as well as the poor. So the sunshine represents universality, and so does Imam W. Muhammad's leadership. So his legacy lives through the universal concept that we see that he gave to us, and if we pick those up, we will grow.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Imam Talib or Imam Bashir? Imam Talib. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, well, maybe he stepped away again.
Okay, we're back.
Are you there, Imam Talib?
Yeah, Imam. Thanks, Imam. Imam is speaking about these words that shaped him. These are the words of Almighty God, Allah. You know, nobody owns that. You know, it belongs to the whole creation, all people. But I do believe that something we have been shaped as a people to be a personification for all people and to show them, you know, just like Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's a rahmatul alameen, he's a mercy to all the world. But we can't expect the world to know him if we who say we follow him don't show them him. If he doesn't, and that statement tells us that just because we say we're Muslims, that we have to hold them to ourselves. So we can't cheat the people by holding Muhammad to ourselves. So likewise, the fan worth of the Muhammad, being upon that legacy. I mean, I really see him as Muhammad, the Prophet, peace upon him, when he was with us, and also his body of knowledge now as being Muhammad with us today. And so the thing we say about Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he's not just for us, he's for the whole world. We have an obligation to even shape the world what belongs to them. You see? If any one person or any one group, any one ethnic group, any one nationality, again, they're cheating him, they're cheating Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and we know that's going to lead them to a place that's not good for their destiny.
Yes, sir. And this is, again, to everyone. We were having an interfaith group session where it was with the Presbyterians, and they asked us a question about, they asked a question to us. They first made a statement. They said, well, Imam Muhammad said that Adam was a type and that Abraham was a type. And they turned and asked us, and in turn I'm asking you all today, they said, is, was Imam Muhammad a type also? And I'm saying that to lead to the next point, because sometimes myself, I'm sure if I heard it, maybe you have too. Some say, well, you have to go to this particular convention or this particular Savior's Day or this particular group. But so if you can get some comment on how do we bring about unity on that. So I guess I'm asking two questions. So first one was, what is Imam Muhammad as a type? I think that's kind of been answered already. Before, as the unity, can we bring about the unity between the groups, to where some say, you know, you have to go to, and I'm intentionally not calling anyone's name, so I ask you all, if you can refrain from it, do it too. But say, you have to go to this place, this city, or this place or that city, for this event or that event. And what's your thoughts about that? How can we bring about the unity?
You know, Imam did a talk once. One of his last talks that he did. In fact, he was talking about the sun. But what was different about this talk? He didn't limit it to just the one sun in our system. He began talking about all the suns. You know.
You said sun. You said sun. S O N or sun. S-U-N.
S-U-N. S-U-N. But we know also that that's
okay.
But he was talking about S-U-N. And he said there are many suns, you know, and they all have their space.
Mm-hmm.
So he said don't depend on one sun. He said, but they're all the suns we see who are operating in their particular space, their particular order, with their particular role. They're all a part of one universal order. I'm saying that to say is that the unity should be based on the body of knowledge. I mean, you mentioned this place and that place. I kind of see them, and one of the things I kind of take from that talk, there are many things you can take from that talk, is that we should expect in our collective body that there are going to be sons that have a orbit for them, you know. But the support for that son is all a part of universal order. I don't think we should see it. We should see it as separate from our body. One of the ways we contribute to disunity is seeing bodies, parts of our bodies, as separate when we're really all a part of one body. And this is we're saying that no one person can own or can have all. But the more who does have something, the more we see ourselves in the full picture, we get a better clarity of the body of knowledge and the role that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Our unity should be based on that collective body of knowledge and trying to get a better understanding of what he gave us and not trying to separate ourselves from someone else because they're not following a particular order, a particular organization, a particular network or something that we may say, well, that branched off. But they're still working with that body of knowledge. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Very good. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Yes. Do we have any other comments on that for us, the unity, how we can be thinking about the unity?
Yeah, Buddy Nam. Go ahead, Buddy Nam.
No, go ahead. I think he was talking. I thought he was talking to me, but he was talking to you. Go ahead.
Either one.
You my senior Buddy Nam, so you go right ahead.
Well, my comment, since I'm doing a unity tour right now, and I'm studying this very intensely, and I have to go back to what I said earlier, what Imam Muhammad said, our problem with unity is that we have been separated from our original self, and that original self is your original purity. And God says in the Quran, and this is why I took it straight to, Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu ku anfusikum ahlikum nar. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. You see? And the word that is used for save there is ku. It is the command form of the Arabic verb waqiyah, which forms the word taqwa. So Allah not only gives you the command in that form of the verb to save yourself, but tell you how to do it. And that's with taqwa, you see. So it says save yourself with taqwa and your family. And the Quran opens up very clearly that this is the book, that this is the book, in it there's nothing doubtful in it, but it is a guidance for those who have taqwa, muttaqin. So going by that basis, the purity of excellence in us is our taqwa that we give to God. So Allah says in the Quran, and this is so important for studying the Quran, it says, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. You know, it is Allah has united and with affection the hearts of the believers. And even if you spend all that is in the earth, you can't do it. You see? لَوْ أَنْفَقْتُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. That means that if you spent everything, جَمِيعًا is like Juma, if you got everything together, knowledge, money, social life, national life, get everything you think possible to bring unity about, you can't do it. But your heart has to be united by God, you see. So our problem rests in our innocence. Our problem rests that we have become guilty in our own innocence. Remove the guilt. Come back to the innocence. Come back to the purity. And you will see unity come back to us, you know. I'm telling you right now, I go to different cities and et cetera, and people try to invite me into this, that, and other. You can't get me because I am free. I'm free and sincere to this religion, so you can't get me to condemn this and condemn that and condemn that unless it's absolutely corrupt, and then I will speak from the Quran. But Imam Muhammad, those who knew him, he was never vindictive. He was never revengeful. He was never trying to get back at somebody or undermine somebody. He was always humble. And I've seen things happen with my own eyes, and I would bring his attention to him. I said, Brother Imam, they're doing this. He said, don't worry about that. That can't hurt us. I said, why not, Brother Imam? He said, because they don't know where I'm going. How can you get in my way when you don't even know what direction I'm going? And I settled down.
Yes,
so sir. So what I'm saying right now, the unity that we need is to come back to our original self. And I recommend everybody read this book, Diversity in Islam, you know, the comments by Imam Waterman.
Page 14, right? Yeah, and
page
14. You pointed us
but read
to
the whole
page 14.
Book, but that whole book.
Oh, yeah, definitely,
you know,
yes.
Read the whole book because it's very good. You know, we have to study the leader that we said left a legacy. I just thank Allah that I'm still living and can make some small contribution in this big confusion that we are faced with on these different things, you know. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Brother Man Carson, yes, go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm going to be walking into another meeting in about 8 minutes. You know, like I told you, I can give an hour. You know, so I'm going to stay on until 1
yes,
o'clock,
sir,
but I'm going to go into another workshop, inshallah, to try to bring about some unity.
Yes. Well, let me say two fair things for you, Ma'am Bashir, speak. If you can tell us, Ma'am Qasim Ahmed, about your unity tour, how can we contact you if a city wanted to invite you to discuss your unity tour?
Yes, you can call area code 318-762-9098. Area code 318-762-9098, and ask for Nadia, Nadiyah, and I will be. She can look at my schedule because I have it's very hectic. You know, when I leave here, I'm going to San Francisco, then I got to go to Philadelphia, and then Charlotte, and a couple other places.
Yes,
so,
sir.
I just thank Allah, and all I ask for is you pray for my health, you know, and strength to be able to contribute.
Yeah, thank you again. So that number is 318-762-9098, and that's a sister,
yes.
Nadia.
Yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Yeah, thank you. And also, just real quickly, this also, what Eman Coffin just said, reminded me of Savior's Day, I'm going to say 1965, when Malcolm was assassinated. And Eman Muhammad, for the sake of unity, not that he agreed, disagreed, but seeing the bigger picture, that the quote-unquote to save the baby, I think that's the word he may use, for the baby meaning the community, he came and united with his father for the bigger picture. I think that's very important.
Yeah.
Brother Imam Bashir, yes, sir. Your comments?
Yes, thank you, Brother Imam. Just several things, ideas I want to convey. We had an Imam's conference in October, and the theme of our conference was loving, respecting, and connecting. And these ideas are critical for Muslims. Allah commands us in the Quran to go from our individual reality into oneness, the oneness of community life.
You need to get in the
and in going from our diversity of interests into the oneness of community life. And it's in a command form. But preceding that, Allah commands, before we can actually go from our individual realities or our small group realities into a larger group reality, Allah says, "Atasmu bihiblillahi jamian wa la tafarruqu." And he puts that in the command form. He says, "And hold on to this bihiblillahi, this ties of love and affection that Allah has given you among yourselves." Jamian, together, as oneness, and together, and do not lie to fatal cool, and he puts lie to fatal cool in an emphasis form in the Arabic grammar. So I mean, do not be divided. So before, unity is a command of Allah. Community, coming from our smallness into a oneness is a command of Allah. But also Allah commands us to love, to respect, and to connect. And before we can really do that, one of the challenges we have in our community is really grappling with this concept of autonomy and independence. And Imam was a brilliant man. He was a strategist. He was a genius. And he gave us, in our developmental process, he understood the natural development of human beings. Imam did. Imam Qasim talked about what direction am I going in, right? Imam was really kind of connecting us back to our human nature and giving us a pattern of natural development. And in that pattern of natural development, we go from dependence to independence to interdependence. Independence is an adolescent state, moving from the dependence of our parents into where we think we can stand on our own two feet. We really can't do it, but we think we can. And it's necessary to propel us out into the world to make us stand on our own two feet and be contributing members of society versus depending on others. But in order to make that step, we have to arrive at the third step of interdependence, of depending on each other and working together toward common reality. That's the nature of community life. So once our consciousness comes to the reality that we have to depend on each other despite our differences, and the other natural reality is the reality of the differences of family. Families have differences, but yet they love each other, and despite their differences, they work together and don't allow themselves in good families to be torn apart. So Allah gives us all these natural patterns and natural clues, and this is really a challenge for our leadership as well as enlightened members of our community to arrive at this consciousness, work together, love each other, and respect each other.
Yes, sir. Now, once again, because you gave three, you said, from, like, levels of development. The first one was dependent upon parents.
Dependent.
And the second one was being
in our early stage, in our childhood, we're dependent. In our adolescence, we feel independent. As a matter of fact, there's certain hormones that go along with that thinking, in which at a teenage year, we think we're grown. We don't want nobody telling us what to do. We want to do our thing. We want to connect with who we want to connect with. But that's still an illusion. Because adulthood requires us to get married, to have families, to have work, to contribute to society. All of these things are in conjunction with other people and other interests. And therefore, it makes us interdependent upon others. So dependence, independence, and interdependence.
Yes. And I just want to say at the 2 o'clock hour, we will be taking calls from our listeners who called in. But I do want to properly give the greetings to Imam Kafa Ahmed and thank him for being a port of work for my people and thank him for his wonderful contributions.
Yeah. Well, like my salam, and thank you. I'm going to be signing off right now, too. We appreciate you for here. Imam Bashir, Imam Aisha, Imam Salah, please stay on the front line. Don't retreat. Reinforcements is on the way. I've seen smoke coming over the hill.
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Before we go to... are there any other comments I heard from Sister Aisha or from Brother Talib, Imam Talib, before I go to my next question? Yes. Anything else you want to interject now?
Yeah, I wanted to just add that what Imam, you talking to Sister Aisha now?
Either one.
If I heard her, you know I can't keep talking. I thought I heard her. Is that correct?
Me too. I'll
wait till you're finished.
Yeah, you're right.
You might say what I'm going to say, so go ahead.
No, my dear son, you start talking, I can't go now. I got to let you go. Please go right ahead.
Oh, Lord. Okay, all right. Well, my thoughts that were coming to mind is unity is broad. Of course, we have those things that can't be violated. You know, you can go through all the gamuts of what Islam means, but you have five pillars. Those are the pillars that unify us. And the main one is belief in one God, and Muhammad is a prophet.
Mm.
If everything else falls down and we get weak on any other side, as long as we hold that pillar, we can regain our unity. Unity is diverse at the same time because, you know, we are taught go in by different doors. Muslim communities is not to all pursue the same endeavors and go after the same markers, but we are instructed to go in by different doors, even in the declaration of Jummah, when it says, and when Jummah is over, spread out and go into diverse ways in pursuit of your share of this world. So some people assume that we don't have opinions within our unity. Some people assume that Muslims are so monolithic that they speak with one voice, and once you see one Muslim do something, that's what all the Muslims all over the world would be doing, that we don't have the right to express ourselves. Even in our Muslim dress, we have the right to express ourselves. And I just wanted to make that point.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is fundamental around the belief in one God. When it spreads out from there comes in diversity.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so what you're saying, that both should be recognized at the same time, correct?
At the same time, because all those parts make up the whole. We have many parts that come together to make up one whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very well said. I appreciate that. Brother Imam Talib Sharif.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, the Imam was, again, speaking about, and the Quran talks about the state of creation in its beginning, in its forming, before we are here. And because it says it was in a state of chaos, and some say violent commotion, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Allah said he didn't want it to stay like that. You know, it wasn't working together. And so Allah said to the creation, and we know this, come you together willingly or unwillingly.
Hmm.
And the creation responded, we come willingly. Now, he said many things about this picture that we're given. That's what he said, really, in this picture is a universal logic for our life and for our progress. But he said, when they said we come willingly, and then the different bodies were given their identity. They were given their faith. They were given their respect. And it said, as a result of that, order and unity came upon that. And said, then there was peace in the heaven. And so he was saying that we came out of that. Again, I mentioned earlier, man, was saying that, you know, the body inherits the past. That's part of our past because we come from that creation.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so, you know, I sent something around on my Facebook. It said that every creature has had its life ordered, and its obedience to the order is testimony that it worships its superior. As our sister was taking us back to that belief in one God, you know, and our brother Bashir was mentioning the ayat about that to Father Kuh. And Allah said, he speaks to our first, yeah, ayah labina amanu, so again, speaking to our faith, ataqullah. So again, this is the formational basis for us to have unity. And then obviously says he speaks about faith and then talks about our destiny because he tells us about not to die. And then he says, don't separate, you know. And it says that the Eliphaz, again, that thing causes some of this love. So really, this really takes us back to what one of the biggest issues are for us. Really, is faith and love. Some of us really we're saying we have faith, but we really don't because we don't have love. You know, that's the fundamental piece of it. Because it says the prophet told us that you want paradise, you want the garden, you want the garden.
That's right.
But the condition for the garden is faith. And this is the first thing Allah speaks to us. He's speaking to our faith. Obviously, he's not talking to people that don't have faith. And that's to tell us don't waste our time with people that don't have no faith. They're not going to get it. You know, I think we waste a lot of time with people while we're trying to achieve something that's not achievable because they don't even have the first principle that's necessary, which is faith. And they say you won't have faith until you what? And that's why one of the reasons why they probably don't have faith is because they really don't love. You know? It's just sad sometimes of this how we say and our expression, our language about each other sometimes, you know, and we see that as the biggest challenge, the biggest test is how we fare with each other, you know, being concerned. You know, we have to look at again in terms of what we inherit. How are we respecting what we inherit? That's first of all. We said the body. When one of the things that was showing is that when the body inherits something, it's responsible for what it inherited to continue progressing that life that it inherited. You know, and we talk about
that's
the
right.
connection. When our foundation started, it started, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he loved his people, you know. He loved his people, loved his community. And we just start seeing this organic thing started. Now, based on his concept of love, yes, ku and fusikum, but Allah don't stop there. Save yourself. But he could have Allah could have said just that, but that would make us selfish. But he said, "Correct, who's going for Africa?" So that's to tell us really the main purpose of making sure that you are healthy and you are strong is so you can now be able to make a contribution to the collective peace. That's what it's really all about.
Yes, sir.
To the bigger peace. And sometimes I think that one of the reasons we're missing it because we are not focusing on that collective. You know, we were working
yes,
in terms of, again, what we were responsible for. Our past, we were working for the collective. I mean, look, we were trying to build a nation, right? We didn't have
yes,
time
right.
for – I was just a teenager. I was young in the 70s for me. I know it's way older than that, but for me, when I came, what I saw, there was no foolishness. They cared about each other. They had each other's back. If there was a gap, somebody filled the gap, you know. These are, and you know, the imam was he did a convention one time, I believe, on connecting with our best traditions, right? Africa, African Americans.
So these are things that we inherited, but how are we respecting what we inherited when we look at the collected life today? Now, we do expect, that they're going to be sons, but they still have to be obedient to the order, you know, which means that we should be respecting each other and caring about each other, just as the Imam was giving us in that particular picture. And that's one of the things, if these sons can work together, and there's a universal complement, there's a challenge because we're on the open waves, and to really, we know we can't solve the problem with this communication, but we do hope that it will spark some interest into dealing with the challenge that we have with our collective life. If we can get select ones that have, you mentioned when you came on, you introduced speakers, and you mentioned about people being respected, et cetera. So, and it's only a few we know that have an audience, so to speak, or maybe even the following, if we may will, within our collective association. And that's what we see sometimes where friction goes between those and those that maybe some overlap, some don't overlap. But the challenge now is to get us to break the selfish tendency. Make sure yourself is healthy, but now focus on the collective. If we can come together and focus on the collective life, or to progress all human life. Really, they're waiting for us. We look at what's happening right now.
Yes, sir.
It's because we haven't moved. You know, it disappoints us to not see some of our entities that we have. I'll just mention this one just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be listening. The Coalition for Good Government. Prime time right now. Prime time for us to have a voice from that speaking, you know, on show. And I'm just saying. But we're not strong because your life can't be strong if you just hold on to a small piece of life. You can't really strengthen the whole life. And that's what we need to do now, show we really care about each other. And again, we have all the help. Allah has given us all the help in the religion, even in our greetings.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's assalamu alaikum.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
And again, I mentioned the greeting. That's one of the things that the Prophet said that he said, I'll show you something. Now, after he made the statement that you say you won't get into the Jannah, la tadkhulu Jannah, hatta tu'minu, you won't get into the garden until you believe or have faith, but you won't have faith until you practice love. And then he say, should I guide you? Should I show you something that which you will be able to have this love? And he said, spread the peace. Spread salam between yourself. Spread peace between yourself and the freedom between yourself. So that's he's trying to help us. So, but we know even in our greetings, assalamu alaikum, you know, kum, we all know now that's you all. I cannot. And I can't focus, I can't speak to you because it's bigger than you. What I'm talking about is bigger than you, you see. But you have a sharing of responsibility to work for. Assalamu alaikum. You know, assalamu alaikum is just to the person, the male. Assalamu alaikum to the female, right? So, but we know that to say that is not is correct grammatically, but religiously, our faith don't that we can't say that to the brother, to the sister. So we have to treat each other with this level of respect, and we got to see past them and also see what each person represents. Allah says, He says, your life and your death is as the life and death of one, right?
Yes.
And that tells us the value that we should see in each other. That should really, really cause us to love each other. You know, the value.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And we're missing that. And that's why the Prophet mentioned that. You know, I mentioned one time just the hadith that many of us have heard. I mentioned it, in fact, that she was mentioning the Imam's conference. This is something we mentioned there, the hadith where the brother wouldn't give the greetings to another brother first.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the Prophet, you know, this brother never gives me the greetings. I have to always give him the greetings first. And so he took the Prophet to the brother to find out what did he have against him, what was going on. And so the brother said this again. He said,
He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah," he said, "you have taught us that whoever gives the greetings first gets the bigger blessing." He said, "I love my brother so much that I wanted him to have that blessing." And then, you know, the brother was complaining. He began to cry, you know, profusely, you know, that his brother really cared that much about him. But that's the kind of love we have to begin to bring back to each other. We inherited that in our past. That's a part of us. We're responsible for what we inherited and how we progress upon the best of that life that we came from, you know, to reconnect our life. And again, it's expected that we're going to have some sons. People have different orbits and things that they're responsible for. But that shouldn't prevent us from uniting upon the universal order, you know, of our collective life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you. And we appreciate that very much, the collective life. The one thing you said, Brother Imam Tyler, really hung with me. You said, you put it in a question form, how are we respecting what we inherited? And that's very important for us to be mindful of and to reflect on. How are we respecting what we have inherited? Because the word inherited goes back to legacy as well. I do want to again entertain any questions from our callers. We have at least two callers on hold right now. I do want to ask my co-host, Brother Mustafa, did he have anything he wanted to ask before we go to our callers?
No, sir, Brother Imam. No, sir. Just enjoying the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We go to our first caller from the
773. Before you go to your call, I just want to remind you, I have a meeting in about 20 minutes, so I'll be leaving in about 20 minutes, inshallah, just so you're aware of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
We
do appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you, because we know we all have busy schedules, and if you have to go, we do understand. But we have our first caller from 773 area code. If you can give us your name and your city, your first name and your city, call us 773.
Brother Wally Kareem, member of Progressive Leadership Faculty from Chicago, Illinois.
Yes, sir, Brother Wally Kareem. Brother Wally, how you doing, sir?
I want to give the greetings to the guests that you have on your show today, a very scholarly group. I know all of them personally, and I thank Allah for their service and their input. Sister K. Mustafa, Brother Imam David, it's not David, Talib Shabazz, and Brother Bashir Ali. Well, you have to forgive me.
Sir.
I haven't seen you more. I'm getting at the age now where I have to think about names. But anyway, thank Allah for giving me the opportunity to be here and stay in time to witness this growth in our community and the knowledge base that all of you have acquired through the teachings of our beloved leader, Imam Waqidi Muhammad. As you know, in 1975, he brought us into a new era of understanding of al-Islam, from the teachers of the Nation of Islam to where we are today. It was a progression of knowledge that we received, and all of us that was blessed to come up to this time, we forever grateful to Allah and be grateful for this great blessing. We have today, we just finished our Progressive Leadership Legacy meeting, and we've taken time out to partake in the program with you, and we have about 7 to 10 members, some online in other cities, and we would just like to introduce them to you, to your group, and let you know that we are on the case to try to keep the legacy of our leadership alive. That's our goal from the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Imam Muhammad. When they made that transition, we made our vow that we would do all we can with all the effort and the strength Allah give us to go into the future and try to bring along the young people behind us to take over this leadership and carry it further into the future, inshallah. That's what we are about today.
Yes,
just like to introduce you to some of our memberships. They will speak for themselves at this time.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Sister Zakiya Sadiq, Chicago, Illinois. I greet all
yes,
the guests, and you all did an excellent job spreading what the Imam W.D. Muhammad was teaching. I'm just pleased to be online with you. We're moving forward with a lot of activity here in the Midwest as well. I believe we're having a Midwest Leadership Conference coming up on February 14th through the 16th.
I'm sorry,
that's April 14th through the 16th.
Easter weekend.
I'm sorry about
yes.
that. You know, I was thinking about a Savior's Day as well. We're also having a Savior's Day weekend, and that's in February. It's the weekend of the 25th, I believe. Was that the 24th, 25th, and 26th? So that's going to be here
yes,
in Chicago
ma'am.
As well. And so
okay, thank you.
Love to see everyone coming together to different events.
Yes,
like
ma'am.
Those
Thank
other
you.
Yes, sir. And I enjoyed the show, the panel, and keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. What's your name again?
Nelson Muhammad.
Yes, sir, Brother Nelson. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
This is Bashir Assad, and yes, I've enjoyed and benefited from this discussion today. I'd just like to add that we need to keep in mind that Imam Wasiuddin Muhammad, his importance, and this was a man who was very serious about what he was doing, also the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we should continue to keep that serious mind in ourselves to going forth. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. I beg my son. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Mira Muhammad from Chicago. I'm a new member of the PLA, but I was so impressed by what they were doing, you know, that I've said a lot. Give me, you know, the insight to work with them. I really thoroughly enjoyed the program, and I thank Allah that you had this topic to keep us abreast of what we need to do and to identify some pertinent issues that was of concern to Imam Muhammad and that we continue the legacy of Imam Muhammad. Thank you so much.
Yes,
sir. Like.
Thank you. I'm just my fault.
We have our brother Imam Saleem out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think he's still on the line, Brother Saleem. Maybe it's not. Brother Klein Akbar?
No.
Out of order? Okay, maybe they're not online now, Brother Stador. I just
yes,
want to attend for your progressive program. I always try to listen to you and your guests each week when you come online. And remember, we're all on the same page. And we want to keep
right.
going forward. All the energy that we have, Allah give us, until there's no more. We're not going to stop now. And we want to show gratitude to all you brothers that, as Brother Imam Qasim said, on the front line, we're all on the front line. And we want to go forward to make this happen because, as you know, we're in a climate right now that's very, very serious. And we have to come together and support each other and be on the same accord. And thanks again for our opportunity to make this. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, and thank you, and thanks to the Progressive Leadership Legacy Group. I must say, this is the first time I ever had a caller to call in and get 7-for-1. This is Zakir, Brother Milton, Brother Bashir, Sister Manila, Saleem, Clyde. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Man. You have a comment, anyone, before I go to the next caller?
Well, this is Aisha. I was going to say that's a clear example of unity.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Alhamdulillah. We go to our next caller from the 618 area code. Can you give your first name and city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Askia Hamid, Imam in St. Louis, Missouri, Mu'minun.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah, Brother Imam. How you doing, sir?
Praise be to Allah. I'm thankful and doing fine, and I'm so appreciative of this particular structure and the concerns that have been addressed by Sister Mustafa and also our Imams, Imam Talib and Bashir, and yourself, Brother Imam Mikhail, making this available, Imam Qasim. I see this as such a great unifier in the conception of where, in the perception of the community picture, and helping to share this particular communication, I think is going to be very important, being able to use this as a reference because of what was shared by each of you today in the context of which you shared it. That is a perception and of the community that is very healthy in supporting the leadership of Imam Muhammad, but also consistent with the example and that Allah revealed in the Quran to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. I would can imagine it being available in Muslim Journal, at least letting people know of this particular link for this particular conversation. It's very important what was shared, and the context would not change with time. It's a timeless context of which you have described. So keep up the good work, Brother Imam Mikhail, and inshallah, all of you, if you could make some aspect of what you shared here collectively available to those in your circles of communication, which I know is broad, but I see this as having a national and international ramification for perception. I conclude with that. Again, thank you all. Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Brother Imam Askia from St. Louis. I will say this here. These shows are archived. And part of the best way to find the show is to just go to type in Words Make People and then type in the name of the guest that were on the show today along with my name and put it in the word legacy. And she can go to Google and find that and find the show. That's the easiest way for me to say in a short fashion on how to find this show. And also the same link that anyone used today to listen to the show, they can use that same link forever. It will always come back to this one particular show. Yes, sir. Sister Aisha also mentioned about putting it in Muslim Journal. I don't know if that could be done or not. But,
Assalamualaikum. Yes, sir, Brother Imam. You know, we have talked, myself and you, Imam Mikhail, have talked before about transcribing your shows, the guests that are on the shows, and putting them in the Muslim Journal. And on a couple of cases we've done so, especially with the MFAs on the HBCU campuses, we had a young sister who was part of that, the MFA and the HBCU, who transcribed that show, Brother Bilal, who was the president of the MFA. And it is still getting feedback. It still has longevity. Of course, everybody knows by now Muslim Journal has a limited staff. But we're looking forward to people to participate with us. And if someone wants to step forward and say, Imam Mikhail's here, I will help transcribe some of your shows so that they can be put to print and further in the Muslim Journal. We will welcome that. Of course, we get a lot of feedback from Washington, D.C. Imam Talib Sharif has a very active staff, a progressive staff, and we get a lot of material for the readership out of Washington, D.C. And we welcome Imam Bashir Ali to have more input in the journal. Of course, I know when I talk to him, it's always the concept of shura, that he has to go back to the shura body and have consultation. But still, we want to have more and more input in the journal out of the sectional imams via their national representative. And with the guest today, Imam Qasim Ahmed, of course, we welcome him. And the brothers and sisters who came on from with Imam Wali Kareem, they are constant writers and submitting material to the Muslim Journal on their activities, which increases the coverage of Imam W.D. Muhammad
and the legacies that our community represents.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you very much. And I do want to mention this is a promotion for a show in the future. I mentioned it earlier. We spoke with Imam Bashir Ali to help us coordinate a conversation similar, but I think separate. Imam Muhammad Siddiq wants to have a talk on the intellectual properties, and I think that's going to be forthcoming soon, hopefully, inshallah, so stay tuned for that. Imam Bashir Ali, I do want to give you the opportunity to leave, giving you the proper greetings. Anything you want to say before you have to go?
Yes, sir. Two things. I want to thank my sister Aisha for those beautiful comments and let her know we got two pieces coming to us in the next week, inshallah. We've been extremely busy, but we definitely have two pieces coming to her. And thank her for her tireless efforts and work, as well as Imam Talib Sharif, Imam Kazim, and yourself. All of you are tireless workers for this community. The second piece is we have a green light on the piece you just talked about with the conveners. I ran it by them, and alhamdulillah, it's a green light for that. So we have to just coordinate that time, alhamdulillah. So and thank you all very much, and thank your listeners and our beloved community members. May Allah bless us all to progress as Allah wants us to and has ordained for us.
Yes, Brother Imam, and as you leave, a question I haven't asked yet, I'll let you answer first before you go. What is the best way to pass this legacy on to our next generation?
We have to aggressively seek to involve them. As you know, it was mentioned about our Midwest Conference. One of our goals in the Midwest is to recruit and engage our next generation leaders at every level. And inshallah, we just want to pass that on for whatever it's worth to all of us. Identify, mentor, develop, encourage, and involve these next generation leaders. They're talented, they're engaged, they've got fresh ideas and talents and skills. And inshallah, you know, when we all came to the community, I came here as a teenager, and got immediate responsibility. I was assistant minister in my 20s, you know. So alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us were engaged at early levels in this early ages in this community, and we urge our leaders and our other community members to do the same.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and thank you for being a wonderful guest on Words Made People. Looking forward to you.
Yes, sir.
Joining us again very soon, inshallah, God willing.
Inshallah. Thank you as well, my dear brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Sister Aisha, you mentioned earlier about youth. And sometimes, as Imam Bashir mentioned, you know, many of us came in as teenagers, at the latest as young adults, very young adults. And so now here we are, 50s, 60s, in our 60s, but we have youth who were born and raised in our community, and they're in their 30s, 40s, and they got jobs, some making six figures, raising two or three children, sending them to college, but some of us who are in our 50s, 60s, and 70s, we may not have gotten out the way, and we forgot that when we came in, we were quite young. So with that, well, a young person had read my book on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the comment to me was that, oh, now I see what mommy and daddy are saying. So with those two comments, how do we pass on this legacy? Are we in the way sometimes? I guess what I'm asking. But how do we pass on this legacy of Imam Muhammad's leadership to the next generation?
All praise is due to Allah. You know, Imam Muhammad himself, he always said, if someone can step forward and do this better than he was doing, please come forward. So that's always been an open invitation. If you have a better plan, you have a better execution, please step forward and let your execution and your plan speak for itself. I think sometimes we beat the old guys up too hard.
The old ones?
People who have Yeah, I think we beat the old ones up a little too hard because I've okay. repeatedly and constantly welcomed young leadership. And I see it progressing. We see it in Atlanta. We see it in Houston. And Tyler, mm-hmm. like he said, we are his seniors. So we see it in D.C. We see it in Newark at Masjid Ali Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I can point to masjid after masjid who have young leadership coming mm-hmm. forward. So I think we are doing what we're supposed to do and passing the baton. Now, at the same time, we have to give them something to work with. It's hard to give a young person the shattered structure that some of us might have inherited. You know, like when Imam Muhammad came into office, he wasn't handed the Nation of Islam in its pristine form. He was handed a shattered community on the brink of imploding upon itself, and he had to work with that. Now, we can give some of our youth that, but we are, what, 40-some years out now, and the mm-hmm. momentum is increased. Some of these people who are making those salaries that you mentioned, they are in the White House. Imam Abdul Aleem's daughter just wrote her farewell piece that we printed in a Muslim journal, thanking the president for having her in his administration. So they are just not sitting around looking to fill a seat that we leave open. They are moving out and into the world. We have people who are working with the establishment that was started out of Imam. They're taking it forward. They're calling on Malcolm's daughter, Yasha, and they have her by their side. They pulled her in. She's participating. We have Muhammad Ali's daughter, May May, who's on the front line of every demonstration. You see her in the women's group. She's on the stage. So sometimes I think we expecting people to fill the positions that we have, but they have moved on to bigger and actually sometimes more prominent and more important positions. So I thank them for that. I look to the years, to the year soon, that we can have new leadership in the Muslim Journal. And we have had it come through the doors. We've had people like D. Shaheed Abdul Karim out of Connecticut. When Shaheed started mm-hmm. working with the Muslim Journal, pretty soon he got picked up by a local newspaper. Now he's editor of the lifestyle editor at a daily newspaper in Connecticut. We have... mm-hmm. Abdullah Rashid in Houston, who's the layout person. I formulate the articles here that come in nationally. I upload them to Abdullah in Houston. He lays out the paper. We go back and forth until it's finished. Then he uploads the paper to Chicago. It's printed, and it's distributed mm-hmm. out of mm-hmm. Chicago.
Yes,
we could get so much more help if we had the resources. I have,
yes,
you know,
yes,
great
ma'am.
Ideas. We have great people standing to help, but they have to go make a living, too. If I can't give them the resources to support their families and make a living on, they're not going to make that sacrifice, and that's something that we did to something that was good, bad, and ugly. The imam told us when he came into office, stop using your baby's milk money to build a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your families first.
Mm-hmm.
So we
yes,
can
ma'am.
Expect them to sacrifice so much, but we don't expect them to go back to the labor that we did 40 years ago. We should have something more established now. While we don't, or whether we do,
yes,
that's something that the old,
yes,
old regime has to discuss. Why we
yes,
don't have more
okay.
of a platform for them.
Yeah, so let me say this. So we're down to maybe my last 20, 25 minutes, and I have maybe 4, 5, 6 callers to get to. But I did want to give you a moment to respond to that as well. How do we take this legacy to our youth? How do we share it with our youth?
I certainly want to compliment what our dear sister have just said. And the
yes.
Imam said this one time. He said, and I know he was wise, so I know some may misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm quoting the Imam essentially. He said, look at your body. He said, Allah respects structure. He said, look at the structure. And I'm saying that to say that our young people, and Aisha mentioned about these
mm-hmm.
broken institutions, And our young people, look at the movements of the past in history. Look at the Muslims, the movements today. They're looking for something that's established, that's progressing something, that's involved in moving something big in terms of something meaningful, you know. And so across our association, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know,
mm-hmm.
how strengthening our, because we're losing our young people because they're coming. She mentioned the kind of mind they have now and the kind of things mm-hmm. they invested that mind in. You know, they're looking at something that's progressing something. If we need to look at our institutions and we look at are they weak, are they strong, how do we strengthen them? And in strengthening them, if we find gaps, we need to do as she just mentioned and others just mentioned. They have, see, we Allah says, he says that trust what I have put in you. You know, that's not just talking about me as an individual, but also in the body, the collective body. The youth, they're in us too. We have to trust them. No, they didn't progress upon the same knowledge, the same circumstance that we had that produced us and the ones that came before. But they're produced upon another circumstance, and they got something else to take us to further distance in terms of we pass the baton. They got what they need to take it to the finish line, or to give it to the next to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So we got many. When we look across our association, they are afraid to turn over. You know, we get so tight sometimes. Power. Just hold on to power thing. Think what we think is power, and we don't want to turn over. No, we have to give it over. But see, I like the idea. You know, Keith Ellison gave an analogy. He said, I like to pass the baton. That's good too. But when you pass the baton, then you eventually you die out, and they keep going. He said, I like the idea of light candle. He said, I like light the candle. If you take the light from your candle and light another candle, you're still there to help assist with the light to make it even brighter. And I think we are seeing some of that in our association where some of those who have been around are still around with those that they lit their candle and they're maximizing the utility now. So these are some of the things that we're going to see. We have to, it's an imperative that we strengthen our institutions. We have to have establishment. You know, it is said, I don't even feel comfortable saying this, but it is out there. It is said that the institutions associated with Imam Wahdatul Muhammad nationally, they're weak, you know. And so we have to look at how do we strengthen our institutions. And there's several. And it is our hope that the leaders of the different institutions, and I know we're not mentioning them, but it's several, but I think those leaders of institutions should come together. We can bring in a power that's greater than ourselves if we just believe and trust each other to be let down and do that. And that's how we'll get out. We have to leave. Look, people joined the movement because they saw cohesion. They saw love. They see us. I mentioned earlier, they see how we feel about each other. We had meetings, and young people have come to meetings to do what has been suggested, to get what they inherit. But they see et cetera. And they don't want no part of that. That's not what they're looking for.
Right.
So they have to go other places. Rather than have that, they'll go find some structure somewhere else. It might not have the insight for information, but because we're social, it does have something that meets the social needs when you talk about structure, progression, and establishment.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The last few minutes here, trying to get my callers in. I think I lost a couple of them, but we go with what we have here. I think our first caller here from 321 area code. Caller, can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, this is my first name is DeLacy. I'm in Melbourne, Florida. DeLacy Umma.
I'm a
member of the Florida FCMA, Florida Conference of Muslim Americans, and just wanted to comment on the program. Been listening in at most of the complete program, and want to thank you, your guest, Brother Talib and Bashir, if he's gone, Sister Aisha. I met her in Fort Myers at a conference, was sitting next to her at the business breakfast dinner. And enjoy her comments. And insights, and you as well, Imam Bekele. Yeah, I just wanted to mention sharing the legacy. I've been working on a campaign of marketing and selling the books and materials that are being produced from Imam Muhammad's followers and authors, and as well as transcribed material from his works that with WD Publications and other authors who have been inspired by Imam Muhammad's work and producing materials. So I have a major campaign, and when you were asking how can we get our young involved, the campaign is called Sharing the Legacy Campaign. And I'm hashtagging it, I'm trying to promote it, and the campaign is designed to sell 24 months a million books and donate $1 per book to a fund and a foundation. I've identified some foundations that interested in it to develop education, business development, culture enrichment, mm-hmm. and support for the needy. We want to get that information out there, that printed material. And I'm seeing more than 20 books have been produced from that.
Right.
From that knowledge body, and just wanted to mention that.
Let me ask you, give us a phone number or a website or email,
my company name is Halal Marketing Enterprise, so LLC,
and the website
is Halal Marketing Enterprise without the S. Without the plural enterprise.
Okay.
Halal Marketing Enterprise. And we're online, and we'll study adding materials, and I'm going to be advertising with Sister Aisha very soon. So we are looking to really market this, and the concept is to get 125,000 people to purchase 8 books in 2 years to try to reach that goal. And then have funds available in a very respectable foundation or trust
yes, sir.
For business development, culture
mm-hmm.
enrichment, education first, and help
yes,
for
sir.
The needy. So,
okay.
So we want,
yes,
want and this is our program we're working on, and it's an individual company effort. But we've been working on it a year,
yes,
and it's stimulated from my responsibility to develop business for FCMA
yes,
in Florida.
Sir.
So I started to looking at ways to
yes.
do that. But the company is not an FCMA affiliate. It's a private company.
Yes, sir. So
that's a landmark in enterprise. My number is 321-917-1235.
Good, and that's when you say Halal Marketing Enterprise, is that .com?
Yes, .com, yes.
Okay. That's the enterprise, does not have it's singular, it's not plural. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I do have
yeah.
to get to my other callers. I do thank you, brother.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and the show is a beautiful show. And just to mention that sharing that legacy is a very powerful concept, and I was so pleased to see on your listing that you were addressing the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Thanks so much for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Salam
alaikum. Alaikum as-salam. We go to our next caller. I've been on hold for a while, but thank you. I'm from 347 area code. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
As-salamu alaikum, Brother Imam. Mubash here, outside of Brooklyn. Brooklyn, New York. This has been one of the most enlightening and informative programs that I've heard in a little while, and I appreciate all the guests that you have on. They all gave so vital, important information to our community. I'd like to just take 2 minutes and read from the book of Imam Muhammad, Wake Up the Human Life, what he said to us. Imam says, science is the civil...
Well,
it's only 6 minutes.
Okay,
Okay, go ahead and read it, but please make it short.
Email said, I'm going to read fast. Email says, science says that civilization does not really present itself until man perceives his social aim or where he should take his life and community with other men and people and families, not just his private life. He has to be turned on to where he is to take his community life. His people, his tribe that he lives with on this earth, or continent or peninsula. You know what I'm saying? When he gets in that mind, that is when he starts to evolve socially. This takes him to his social aim. That is to have comfort, not just for himself, but for the people he belongs to. You know what I'm saying? If your email, W.D. Muhammad, was not turned on to this when he was a teenager, you would not have W.D. Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? It is not the Quran and the Sunnah that made this email. It is my desire to live the best of my social nature and to follow the best aim in the social nature, so that our people and I will be helped by my vision. He said, Elijah Muhammad,
yes, sir.
My father turned that on to me. This is the end of it. It was because of that nature, my fitra, that I was given there. And I was able to guide you to the Quran and the Sunnah. You know, so I know where my salvation is. I know where my Savior was in my fitra. Thank you very kindly. Brother Mim, this is dynamite.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your conscious concern every time I hear you. You just ain't got a concern. You got a conscious concern. And this, all of your guests that you have on today, that's what they have. And as long as we have these kind of people in our community looking to the future, we say, what we can't say, we're going to get what we got to say. Because God is with us.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank you very kindly. Continue to keep the good with us, Brother Mim. We love you. When I say you, I'm talking about the right-minded people. We love all of your guests.
Yes,
the right-minded brothers and sisters love y'all. Because we see a big hope that we're going to have a position in from this moment on going into the future. God has worked on us for a long time to prepare for what we get ready to do now. And we're going to take this
Amen.
Where God wants us to go.
Yes,
by his permission. Thank you very kindly, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. We go to our next caller. From 312 area code, caller, give us your first name and your city, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I also live in Chicago. All right, now I'm in Florida, Tupoli, Chicago. I just want to know, I heard Brother Wally call my name earlier. I was in the conference call line. I am also a member, as you know, Brother Sahir, PLLA, Progressive Leadership Legacy. I just want to, first of all, compliment you and the show, also compliment all your guests, including Aisha, Sister Aisha. I love the comments that she made about when you ask the question, what is best? What is the best way to pass on the legacy to the next generation? And, you know, one of the things that attracted me to the Progressive Leadership Legacy Association was just that word legacy. And I don't know too much about the word, but I learned a lot today on the program about the legacy and what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my way of expressing my involvement with that legacy is just to keep working, you know, just keep working like I did when the imam was, when his physical presence was with us. My way of expressing my involvement, like I said, is just to keep working. And also,
yes, sir.
Listening to me, you are the legacy. Sister Aisha is the legacy. All your guests are the legacy. And one of the things we just discussed today was how to really involve the youth. And Sister Aisha just made it plain that we're not going to beat up on the older guys like yourself. I'm not going to say myself. And we're not going to beat up on the older guys. But we're just going to pay attention to what Sister Aisha said, how the youth are involved today, and stop beating up on ourselves. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Clyde Akbar, thank you. And I hope before you go, I wanted to ask you, Are you still practicing on your violin? I heard you play that violin
this
past fall.
Yes,
sir.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very
good. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
I'm doing the violin and swimming. I'm involved in a national team, swim team also.
Yeah, now, that's what you do when you retire. You know? You go pick up some good things. So thank you again for your call.
Time. Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Now, assalamu alaikum. Okay, before we go to our next couple of callers, two or three callers still, either one, you have a guest on comment, Sister Aisha or Brother Mantal, or should I go to my next guest, next caller?
Brother Imam, I just want to thank Imam, Brother Clyde Akbar, because I know whatever he says, it comes from the heart. When he's critical, he's very critical, and I take it to heart,
okay.
And, you know, we make each other strong. You can't be in this religion and have thin skin. You can't be in this community and have thin skin. So my brothers and sisters around me, keep me prepared for the harder battle. And it just goes to show that we can accept criticism from each other and grow from it. And I appreciate all the criticism. I appreciate all the love. And I get both sometimes in the same message. So I thank all of us that we supported each other over the years.
Yes. Okay. I got about three calls to work in about 8 minutes. Do you have a comment?
No, please go ahead to the callers.
Yes, okay. Go to the next caller here from 407 area code. You have a comment or question, please? And please give us your first name and your city.
Yes, my name is John Ali, Orlando, Florida.
Yes,
I would like to say assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Mikhail, and the rest of your panel, your guests. Everything that has been said, I have taken it in, and it's been very, very bountiful. One thing I just want to reiterate is that we're talking about leaving something for the future for our children. And I've heard Imam Waraduddin Muhammad, and I've talked with him about that same thing. What are we going to do for ourselves? And what are we going to do for the future? And Imam Waraduddin Muhammad, peace be on him, has said one thing that always stuck with me, that the truth is the only thing that we have that can fight the influences of Shaitan and also establish ourselves as human beings, not just only as Muslims who are black, but as human beings. And that is what will carry us forward in the future. We fail to realize sometimes that our children and others' children in the masjids and in the environment are watching us. Our character, as well as our words, they are consuming them. And if we don't set a good example, then we can't expect our children to duplicate the realities that we want to see in life. As the Prophet Isa, alayhi wasalam, said, know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Also, Imam Waraduddin Muhammad mentioned to us that words make people. And unfortunately, I think we know this, but at times I think we become forgetful and we fail to realize the things that we do and the things that we say are making a big statement. So I want to remind people, because I'm listening to all the commentation, and even in the language progressive, in the word progressive, the root word progress. And the word legacy is leg. And a leg is something that sustains the body and it gives it support.
That's right.
And therefore, we don't have good support. And Imam Muhammad mentioned two legs, economic as well as spiritual or moral nature. And if we don't establish a good foundation, then we can't expect to produce and move forward. So that's all I have to say.
Yes, sir.
And I want to let Sister Aisha Mustafa know that I have a degree in marketing. I haven't been active the last 3 years as far as being a vital participant in the community. Mm-hmm. But I'm well now, and inshallah, Allah is making me have a very wonderful recovery because I had two major surgeries, heart and vascular in the leg. But I'm healing, and I do plan to be back out in the Dawah effort. And the Muslim Journal is an area that I'm very much interested in. And also the previous caller, Brother Delacia Umar, I'm hoping to come aboard with his program as well, the Halal Marketing Enterprise.
Okay.
So I want to give everyone a greeting.
Yes, let me get scheduled. I got two more callers, and then I get to them. But let me say, I have your name and number here. Is it okay if I give it to Sister Aisha? When the show go off, and then maybe she can contact you.
Inshallah,
okay.
very much so.
Okay,
yes.
thank you very much. Go ahead to my next caller here. No. Yeah, you're welcome. My next caller here, from the 816 area code. Can you give us your first name and your comment, please? Question.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, this is Bilal. I just wanted to thank everyone for the comments and for sharing their perspectives. And I know you're about to run out of time, so I really appreciate I really appreciated your kind of social historical approach on things. And I'm happy to hear your comments. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam. Thank you, Brother Imam Bilal Muhammad, a hard-working brother in Kansas City, Missouri, is a very good friend of mine. I think I may have missed more callers. I think one last caller here, I think from 708. Do I have you on already? Call it 708?
Yes.
Can you give us your name? Assalamu alaikum.
I am Gretel Bayah from the Chicago area. Shukran, Imam.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you to all of your scheduled guests and your calling guests. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Alaikum. Do you have a question or comment?
No. Thank you. That's a million words. Thank you.
I mean,
that's all.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for calling and being supporting work for many people.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Brother Imam Talib, and Sister Aisha, you think maybe a half minute, but these slides are so short, but time is short. Any closing comments you'd like to say?
Imam Talib, I'll go first, and you can have the last word. Sister Gretel Bayah, it probably doesn't register to everybody who she is. This sister raised 9 children and put them through college and then went back to college herself, and she was featured in the local newspaper in Chicago. She got her degree, and she was given an award in public. This is Lynn El Amin's mother. Lynn is the head of the science department at Whitney Young School, the highest rating high school in Chicago. And Brother Bilal Muhammad, your article is in this week's Muslim Journal when you attended and spoke at the Women's March this past weekend. And I just want to say, God is always in charge, and even as we complain, it doesn't mean that we're not acknowledging that God is in charge, but we don't believe Muslims should be complacent. We can't sit on the sideline and just expect things to fall out the sky in our lap. And if God is in charge and he's going to move things, he's going to move it using human beings. So we still have to be active in the world and in the community as we pray.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Imam Talib, you're Alaykum As-Salaam. Brother Imam Talib, you're going to take the show out. It's on you. You got about half a minute.
We certainly appreciate being on here. We certainly appreciate all those who called in as well. It really gives us encouragement to see the type of quality, the type of thinking that we have that's in the listening audience. Again, that's highly encouraging.
Yes,
thank you, Brother, for giving us an opportunity to share. We are humbled to be on the panel with my esteemed seniors. I appreciate and I respect all of them, and I look forward to working with them and others to progress our community. Thank you, Brother Mel Miller.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
To be very
okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you to my guest, my cohort, Brother Mustafa, and this audience. Tune in next Sunday to Worth Made People. Until then, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
People.